As I was preparing this morning, I think if you saw my notes this evening, you'd be encouraged. I was very surprised. Generally, when I prepare a message, it comes out 3, 4, 5 pages or so. And I was very, very encouraged. Or I don't know if I'm encouraged. I mean, I said, wow, there's a lot here, I think. But I think you'd be encouraged because just to know that it is 1, 2 pages. So anyway, we'll see where the Lord takes us tonight. But Psalm chapter 32, I'm going to read all 11 verses. You just follow along if you will. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now we come to your holy book. We come to this time when we want to preach the word of God. I pray, Lord, that your book, your preaching, your servant will, your message will touch the hearts of these dear people tonight. I pray, God, that as we leave here tonight, that we'll leave a little bit closer to you than when we came as a result of what has been preached tonight. Now, God, have your mercy upon me. Fill me with your power now. Anoint my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, this is a psalm of David. He was writing this psalm, and reading through it, you can tell it was obvious he was having some difficulty in life. Also obvious that he had to deal with some sin in his life, as we all do. You know, verse number 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Thank God that our sin tonight is covered by the blood of the Lamb. If we jump down to verse 5 for a moment, you can tell that he's dealing with some sin. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. You see, David, he came to this point, he was having a difficulty. You just read this psalm, he was having a difficulty. I think even prior to this, as I was doing a little studying, he had illness prior to this. As he was writing this, and he was having difficulty, and there was some sin that he was dealing with, and I think the Lord was showing him some things, but he acknowledged my sin. You know, let me just stop here, and this is just not even part of my notes. I need to add a few, I think. But, you know, it would do us all good every day to acknowledge our sin. You know, we're not sinless here, okay? We are robed in flesh. We have a tendency to do wrong. We have a tendency to sin. I, as pastor, you know, if you do very well in your prayer life every day, we ought to have a prayer life every day. At the very top of my prayer list, I put that I have a confession time. Okay, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to acknowledge our sin daily. You say, well, I don't know what I did today. Hey, if you just stop and thought a minute before your prayer time, you could jot down a few things. Hey, you know what? The sin of not acknowledging God is a sin. The very sin that we didn't maybe read his book, or we missed out on our prayer time, or whatever the case, hey, right there is some sin right there. Okay, what I'm trying to say, David, he had to acknowledge his sin. I think God was trying to show him some things here, and he had some sin that he had to deal with in his life. Therefore, the sin had caused some struggle and heartache in his life. You know, so I got thinking as I was preparing this, how is it that one Christian can come to church and seem to have the joy of the Lord, and you know some of the weights that you carry, you know some of the, obviously, and I even know, you've shared with me, some of you here, some of the weights and some of the difficulties, some of the circumstances you go in. But how is it that one Christian can go about every day, go to work, do their things, do the things at home, come to church, and despite rough circumstances in life, despite on how the world may treat them, or despite the struggles that they may face, whether it be financial or illness or other heartache, how is it that they can maintain the joy of the Lord? We're going to answer that tonight. How is it that one Christian can go ahead and be happy, and one Christian go ahead and have a smile on his face, and all the weight of the world is upon him, all the weights and pressures of the world perhaps is upon him, but you know what? When he comes to church, he'll be able to shake his or her hand and say, "Praise the Lord, I'm here today," with a smile on his or her face. How is it that one can go ahead and do that, but on the other hand, another may come to you and be gloomy. They come to you and maybe have kind of a doom. And you go ahead and you ask them how they're doing, how, preacher, or I don't know if I can face another day. You ask them how things are going, and the response is, well, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and make it. And, you know, let me tell you all this, and they'll write out a whole list. They could tell you a whole list of things. And now, listen, I'm not belittling the problems. I'm not belittling the situations. But you know what? There is a joy in the Lord that you can have. There is strength in the Lord. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says in Nehemiah 8, I think it is your strength. And how is it that one can be on top side and one can be happy? Somehow they learn how to get the joy of the Lord. And another, and maybe we can help you here tonight, if you're gloomy and doomy, you wonder, man, I don't think I can make it another day. And the truth of the matter is, I've talked to people through the years. So how are you doing? And you know what? I've learned, especially when I was in my ministry up home, I've learned there are people, you just don't go say, "So how are you doing?" They'll have a whole list, laundry list of things. And by the time we are done, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes later, they're discouraged and I'm discouraged. Oh, man, you know, now what I'm trying to say here, how is it one can be so happy in the Lord, and one, yeah, they're saved, they know for sure they're on their way to heaven, they can assure you of that, but they just don't have that joy. Is it that God loves them more? No. Is it that God smiles upon them more? No. Is it that their circumstances of life isn't quite as tough as yours? No. Okay, we all perhaps share some of the same circumstances. And let me tell you something, they have the weight, you have the weight on your shoulders. One realizes they cannot have the real joy apart, you know. One realizes you cannot have the real joy. You have to understand, you cannot have the real joy apart from Christ. You know, the joy, God wants to give you real joy. You see, when the Holy Spirit came inside to live in you, okay, at salvation, he moved in, okay? And God wants to give you the joy of the Lord. God wants to give you joy through your trials. Yes, you may have to go ahead and bear them. I preached about it a little bit this last Sunday morning. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, Jesus says, I'll go ahead and give you the rest you need. Along with that rest, I'll also give you the joy that you need through your trials. People with joy, these Christians with joy, they know that they can get strength through the Lord. They understand that God's grace is sufficient. As read in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. God knows your need. Let me just say this. God knows your need. He knows where you are tonight. He knows the bills that you have. He knows the heartaches that may come your way. He knows what lies ahead. We need to trust him. We need to go ahead and tell him our fears. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know what God wants you to do? The cares that you have, the trials that you have. Boy, if you look at the whole list of things here in that prayer sheet, you know, there's a whole list of burdens in that sheet tonight. And if we all would just go ahead and cast them cares and cast your cares upon Jesus, you know why? Because he cares for you. He wants to help bear it with you. He'll even yoke up with you, the Bible says. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why is it one has joy and one doesn't have joy? It's basically because they learned how to gain the joy of the Lord. You know, when I decided to come and pastor here, I had to consider a lot. I had my children to think about. How would they feel? How would they adjust? I had my wife to think about, you know, of course, the last year with cancer and all, and she had her certain doctors that she went to and the checkups, the regular checkups she has to have. I had the selling of my house. I had the leaving of my ministry of 9.5 years. Now listen to me, listen to me. I'm not saying I wish, I'm glad that I'm here. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm just pointing out something. I had the leaving of my ministry of 9.5 years, my youth group, all that stuff, the things that the Lord has allowed me to do there. My family, her family who lives in Maine. And you know, I had some fears. And I think there was even a time in life that, man, I felt like, man, I was coming, even a little period of time when I had to make that decision, when I was here on the 9th and 4 days later you voted me in, and I thank God you did. And then I told Brother Joe, just to go through a little history, I told Brother Joe, just give me the weekend, let me pray about it. Let me tell you something, I prayed and I prayed and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And all of that, I had some weight of my kids. I had some weight of the things that of life the way it was, that I had to consider. And I felt the heaviness. And I had some, you know, I even had some, Lord, can I really, really do this? You know, I had some fear. I had some emotions. But, you know, through it all, God, he showed his reality to me. And I know that he opened up the doors for us to come to Faith Baptist Church. And, you know, he said this, just whispered in, you know, he didn't come down audibly, but he just led, and he just told this to me through the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, everything's going to be all right, Sean. Because I opened the doors, you stepped in, you keep going forward, you seek my will, and everything else will be taken care of. Amen. Now, I'm trying to say, listen to me. You know what? You've got some weights. You've got some burdens. You've got some things. And by the way, you know, I didn't lose my joy over it. You know, there are times, you know, behind the scenes, I said, you know, I felt the heaviness. I mean, this is the biggest decision of my life, okay? And I felt some heaviness, and I felt some weariness to a certain degree. Yeah, but let me tell you something, I wasn't going to lose my joy over it. I wasn't going to go ahead and let my joy be gone. When my wife went through cancer, I'm giving a few personal illustrations, but it does allow you to help you to get to know us better. But when my wife went through cancer this last year, I mean, it was the most emotional strain I've ever felt in my life. But listen to me. But I wasn't going to lose my joy over it. I was not going to go ahead and say, you know, I wasn't going to sit back. I came close. I mentioned the other morning in a brief illustration about the cancer, that there was a part of me that, boy, I just felt like, God, this isn't fair. There's a little part of me that just felt like, but the truth of the matter is, once I got out of that little pity party of my own, very short time, I realized, hey, you know what, I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to keep on planting my feet facing forward for Christ. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to turn back. I got to go ahead and be a husband to my wife and help her in her health. I got to go ahead and be a dad and a mom to my kids. Hey, I got to be the strong one here, and I got to rely on Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. The burdens that you carry, the trials that you carry, you know what? You may as well go ahead and have the joy and have the strength that God can give you. God wants to give you the strength. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you're one of them tonight, you just don't know if I can make it another day, and I don't think I can make it another hour. I don't even know if I'm going to make it, period. Hey, let me ask you, have you told Jesus about it? Have you told Jesus about it? You know, God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He wants to give you peace through the battle. He wants to give you peace through the trial. He wants to give you all the joy. He wants to give it to you. And the truth of the matter is, you know, your testimony on how you go through your battles will be a testimony of those who follow after who are going through the same thing. You understand? In other words, the way you handle your situation, the way you handle your financial woes, the way you handle your family, or whatever, the way you handle the weights in life or decisions in life, the way you handle it, other people are watching you, and they're going to see how you handle it. They're going to watch and see how you handle it. And if you go ahead and you're on top side through it all, if you go ahead, you've got the joy and you've got the happy spirit and you've got the joy that I'm talking about, they'll go and look at that and say, hey, if they, what they're going through, if they can have the joy of the Lord, bless God, I can too. You know, it kind of is passed on. Have you told God about your trials.
Yeah, but you say, but preacher, God knows it. Yes, he does. But he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear it from you. He wants you to get on your knees and say, okay, God, you know, I got a bill due. I got a bill due. Boy, I don't know how I'm going to go ahead and make this. But God, you know, God, maybe there's another extra workout day you can give me. Maybe this, that, whatever. God, you got a plan. But you know what? Have you even told God about it? Have you taken that bill out and gone ahead and laid it before God? Said, okay, God, you see this tax bill? You see this bill right here? I don't know how I'm going to go ahead and handle it. But you know what? I know you do. You know what? It's trusting in God. It's trusting in him.
So what's the difference between one who's got the joy and one that doesn't? What does it take to have the joy through the tough circumstances of life? Number one, you must recognize their need of your need of Jesus daily. Recognize your need of Jesus daily. How is it that they can have the joy? You know what? I guarantee you, the ones that are on top side through it all, day after day after day, they may not even be going through the battle, but you know what? You won't even know it because they, every day, they recognize who Jesus is every day. They go ahead, the problems in life, they give them to Jesus. They every day, the family issues, they give it to Jesus. Hey, you know what? You want to have real joy, and how is it that one is here and one is here? It has to be that they recognize who Jesus is, and they recognize their need of Jesus Christ daily. They give their problems to the Lord. God wants to hear them, as I mentioned. They confess their sin to the Lord. The Bible says, David did right here in verse number 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You know what? You know why some of us have weight? You know why some of us, you know what? And we've got all these struggles, maybe bill problems, financial problems, and heartache, and this and that. But you know what? Maybe a lot of the struggles comes our way simply because it's a sin problem. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to get on anybody. I don't know. But the truth of it is, you know, maybe there's some unconfessed sin in your life, and you know what, David had to come to that point. Listen to me. David had to come to that point and say, hey, God, I acknowledge I got some sin in my life. Forgive me. A lot of our problems really are sin problems when you get right down and think about it. A lot of the issues that are brought up in our life, in mine, okay, are sin problems. And the Bible says we need to confess our sin to God. We need to every day, you ought to have that, okay? You want to recognize Christ? The ones who have joy, I guarantee you, they recognize Christ every single day. Doesn't make them perfect, but let me tell you something. They realize who God is. They realize he's the King of Kings. They realize he's the Lord of Lords, and they recognize who he is and the power that he has, and they know that he's got all the money in the world to go ahead and give them. He's got all the power in the world to give them, all the health in the world to give them. They recognize who he is, and if these people who have the joy, I promise you, the kind of people that get on their knees morning after morning and say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. God, I know there's some issues in my life, but please forgive me. So number one, how is it that you can have real joy? You must recognize the need of Jesus every single day. I must recognize the need of Jesus every single day. And once you recognize that, you will find shelter in the Lord. Verse number 7, the Bible says in our text, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You know, once you recognize that you need Jesus every day, then he'll go ahead and shelter you, the Bible says. You're my hiding place. He'll shelter you. He'll protect you. You know, there's no peace like the peace of being sheltered by the hand of God. When I went through what I thought was the biggest battle in my life last year, you know what? When I just came to that point and said, okay, God, I can't take all this by myself. You know what? There was no, once I got to that point in my life to say, okay, God, I have my ministry, I have my family, I've got a sick wife, I can't bear it all by myself. Here, God, let me tell you something. There was a peace like none other that I felt. Once I got on my knees and I wept and I cried and I said, Lord, here. I can't take this. I can't do it all by myself. And I was trying for a little while. I was trying to be mom and dad. I was trying to be cook. We'll try that one out. Amen. Okay. I was trying to do all that stuff and yet run my youth ministry and bus ministry and make sure my wife was well taken care of. I was trying to do all that. And there was a period of time I tried to do it in my own strength. That's when I was getting discouraged. That's when I was getting down. That's when my countenance was even changing. My preacher, he kind of noticed that. He says, Sean, listen to me. You're taking some of this way too much on your own shoulders. And that's when he just kind of woke me up a little bit. And I said, you know, I just need to go get alone with God. That's what I did. And let me tell you something. When I got on my face before God and said, okay, you know it, God, you know what I'm about to say. You know, and after that meeting with God, after I had to fully recognize who he was and that he's got all the strength in the world to help bear it with me. You know what, let me tell you something. He gave me a peace. He hid me under his arms. He sheltered me under his wing. And that peace was like none other. Hey, you know what? And that's when the real joy came. God's shelter will give you peace in the hard times. God's shelter will deliver you. The Bible says in that last part of verse 7, this just kind of caught my eye. I'm not going to park on it. Maybe later on down the road I'll preach on this. But the songs of deliverance compass me. You know, good godly music will ease the tension. It will. The anxiety, good, I'm talking about good, solid, godly music. I'm talking about the kind of music that you can get out of a hymn book in a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. You know, it'll help ease the tension. It'll help give you some peace. It's so important, you know, and this is just a side note, but it is so important to have good music in your home. It's so important to have good music in your home, in your car, everywhere you go. It's so important. I was working around here at the church this week. Told Brother Joe, of course, the first part of the week, I've been kind of by myself here. And, you know, I have good, solid music. I love music. Boy, you know, it lifts me up. You know, I'll admit, this week it's been a little lonely. Okay, not bad, not in a bad way. I mean, I go about my things, but, you know, my wife's gone. You know, my best friend, you know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is, and you know, I got my duties, and I can keep moving and everything. That's not, you know, because she's gone doesn't mean I just stop and, you know, shrivel up, no. But the truth of the matter is, you know, but, you know, I just, well, man, I miss my wife and things, and it'd be so nice just to know she was over in the parsonage, but she's not here. I miss my kids. But, you know, I came over here Monday working, and I put in a CD that I like, a good, solid music CD, and, you know, nobody was here. I was just busy just organizing. I didn't have to study for anything at that particular time. I just turned it up a little bit, and just, it made me feel good. Yeah, but, you know what, the songs of deliverance. You know, you get some good godly music in your music library, you know what? That'll help deliver you out of some of your problems. That'll help go ahead and ease some of the tension and some of the heartache. It'll encourage you. It'll lift you up. Boy, music is so very important. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but, boy, you need to have good music going through your mind. And you ought to have good music that you can help teach your kids to listen to. But number three, let's move on. So I said number one, the joy, those that are joyous, those that are happy, those that have the joy of the Lord, you know, they recognize who Jesus is and they daily recognize him. They, number two, they find shelter. Once they recognize who he is, they find shelter and he protects you from some of the storm winds and some of the struggles that come your way. Number three, they allow God, okay, these type of people, they allow God to teach them and instruct them. Verse number eight, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. If we just park there for a while, that'd do, you know. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. You know what? These are the kind of people, those that have joy unspeakable and full of glory, those that have a smile, and even when they are going through it, they come in, they shake your hands, and they encourage you instead of discourage you. Let me tell you something. They're the kind that long to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're the kind that you know they're in their Bible. They're the kind that you know they pray and they walk with God. They're the kind that you know they'll be in some ministry somewhere in the church. They'll serve God in some way. And you know what? Serving people brings joy. I mean, you know what? You want to go ahead and forget about your problems just for a little while. You just start serving people. I mean that. You just go out there and you start knocking on doors. You start maybe working a bus. You start teaching in a Sunday school class. Or maybe you just come around the church and ask, preacher, hey, is there anything I can do? Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, the line is very short in that particular line.
Okay, it's not very long, okay? And you know what? You come by and just find something to do. Hey, let me tell you something. When you serve God, boy, that brings ultimate joy. That brings some exciting, that'll make you feel good. And you know what I want Faith Baptist Church to be? I hope, I said this the other day, but I hope Faith Baptist Church is just a little island of happiness. Just a place where, yes, you left your problems at home, you left the struggles at home, but you can come here and you know that you've got a preacher that loves you, you know that you're going to be greeted with a handshake, you know that you're going to hear the Word of God preached, and the Holy Spirit's going to penetrate in your soul. I hope that Faith Baptist Church can be just a place of escape, where you just leave your home just for a little while Sunday morning, leave your home just for a little while on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you feel like, I can breathe a little bit. I know that preacher, he loves me. I know the staff, I know the teachers there, they love me. I know my bus captain, they love me. I hope that's the kind of church we are. And if we're not, we ought to be. We ought to be working towards that way, but I think we are. I think we're going that way. Maybe we've got to shore up a couple things. But let me tell you something. We ought to be reaching the lost. We ought to be doing everything we can to lift up the fallen and encourage them. So, the difference between the joyous ones and those who aren't so joyous, they allow God to teach them and instruct them. They read the Bible. I will instruct thee. Hey, David, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. You know what our problem is? Maybe God all along is trying to instruct us through his Holy Spirit, trying to teach us. But somewhere along the way, sin got a hold of us. Somewhere along the way, something happened, and there's a wall there, and God is trying to go ahead and teach you the way that he wants you to go. But somewhere, maybe he said, hey, I want you to do this. God, no, I'm not going to do that, so you turn the other way. What's he supposed to do? What's God supposed to do? You know, if you just go ahead and allow God, okay, control of your life, and you allow him to teach you this book, and he allow you to, if you allow him to instruct you in the way that you shall go, let me tell you something, it'd be a whole lot peaceful path, knowing that God is with you. You see, there are times, I've seen it through counseling people. I'll go ahead and I'll show them some biblical principles on some things that they ought to do, and they'll go ahead and refuse it, and it gets worse for them. I'll say, listen, if you go ahead and you do this, 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 and this, you know what, I promise you, God will be with you all the way. But you want to go ahead and turn your back on God, you know what? He's not going to leave you as far as salvation, but he says, okay, you want to do that? Okay, I'll place you on a shelf for a while and go ahead and try that. You know, let God instruct you. Let God teach you. And you know what? Let him go ahead and lead the path that you take. You know, the joyous ones, they learn these principles. And then they allow God not to just teach them and to instruct them. I'm almost through. A few, right? Okay, it's all right. Don't put your shoes on yet, ladies, all right? Okay, but the truth of the matter is here. They allow God to teach them, not to just teach them, to instruct them, but they allow God to guide them. Now, we talk about the path here, and I kind of hit that just a moment ago, but they allow God, okay, God, here's my life. God, I know that you can do with my life a whole lot better than what I can do with it. And that's what God wants. He wants a holy, submitted life to hear God. We sing it, take my life, Lord, let it be. If we don't mean it, let's not sing it. Okay, if we don't mean that, let's just go ahead and don't sing it. Okay, let everybody else who means it sing it. But you just stand there and just, whatever, like a bump on the road, don't sing it. But you know what? God says, listen. Just let me have your life. Will you come to the realization that God can do a whole lot better with your life than you can? Boy, you know what? That's where some joy will come into your life. You know, I have a restriction on my license that says I have to wear glasses while I'm driving. If you got in my truck tomorrow, and you rode with me, and I threw my glasses out, boy, a red flag. You know, I just threw them out the window. I said, I don't need these. Red flag ought to go up if you're my passenger. Okay? I have a restriction there to wear glasses while I drive. If I chose to drive without them, it would cause me harm.
If you're riding with me, I promise you eventually it would cause you harm and others. And you would not want me to guide you. But if I put my glasses on like I'm supposed to, very simple illustration, then you can say, you know what, I trust Pastor Weeks to go ahead and drive me because he's got the vision. Now, here in verse number 8, the last part, I will guide thee with mine eye. You know, why not go ahead and let God, who's got the perfect eyesight, who can see way up ahead, I mean way up ahead, he can see tomorrow, he can see next week, he can see next year. Why not you let him, who's got the perfect eyesight, he needs no glasses, go ahead and lead and guide you. You see, you wouldn't want me leading you and guiding you if I didn't have these. But God, who's got the perfect eyesight, he knows what will happen tomorrow. But you know what? He's got the perfect eyesight, and he'll give you the grace to get through it. What you're going through right now, when you go home, maybe you face some things when you get home, and you are on this little island of peace for just about an hour tonight, you're going to go home. Why don't you decide tonight that, God, I'm going to let you instruct me, I'm going to let you teach me, and I'm going to let you guide me, because you've got the perfect eyesight. You know what's going to happen down the road, God. What is it that the joyous Christian has, and if you will, the discouraged Christian has? They recognize who God is. Once they recognize that, they find the shelter that God provides. And they also allow God to teach them, instruct them, and to guide them. And the one who has a joy, they trust in the Lord. Verse number 10. Many sorrows, as David writes here, shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. I've said it tonight. You got it. You got it all. You trust in the Lord. You know, God, it's just surround you. And you'll comfort you. And he'll give you the strength that you need. And he'll give you the joy that you need. And boy, if you had the joy of the Lord, if you would just decide, hey, I want the joy of the Lord in my life, and use that joy and that heart that you're going through, you've got a smile along the way. And you're trusting Christ along the way. And you're going through that battle with great peace and knowing that you're going to get through it, but victory's coming. I'll tell you something. The people that are down here watching in everyday life, maybe if you're a bus captain or a bus driver, or some sort of church leader, you know, they see you, you have joy, you're excited, no matter what around you, no matter what, it's that whole waiting for you. Hey, let me tell you something. These people, they'll be watching you and say, boy, you know, brother so-and-so, this so-and-so can have that kind of attitude through it all. You know what, bless God. I can go ahead and have the same kind of attitude. If they can go ahead and have the joy through the circumstances and through the trial, you know what? I can too. And David, God says, hey, David, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy. You know, God will give you the mercy, and he'll compass you. He'll strengthen you. In verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. The results of these principles will bring true joy. Let me ask you a question. Do you have joy tonight? I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about going home and watching some funny show and ha-ha, no. I'm talking about the everyday life that you have to bear, things, the issues of life. Do you have the joy unspeakable that the Bible talks about? Do you have the joy of the Lord? God wants to give it to you. And you know what? You're not exempt from it. You're not exempt from having that joy. God wants to give it to all of you. God wants to give it to you. He wants to just go ahead and say, hey, I got the joy if you just trust me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. David found it. He found the key to his sorrows was to trust in the Lord with all his heart and lean not to your own understanding. Hey, what are you leaning on tonight? You're going through it, perhaps. These are just very simple principles I taught you from God's Word tonight. But you're going through it. Maybe you're not going through it right now, but you will. You know what? Why not just be even right across the board and have the joy that you need every single day? When you're up, you know what? God's joy is there. When you're down in the valley, you know what? God's joy is there. Every single day, God's joy will be provided for you. But will you take it? Will you allow Him to go ahead and work in your life? Are you willing to go ahead and sacrifice? Say, okay, God, you take my life. Here, you take... You, truth is, and I'm right about this, you go ahead and you give God your life, He'll do a whole lot better job than what you'll do. There's way too many of us, there's way too many Christians that fail, they quit church, they quit the ministry, who knows what, simply because they've not totally submitted their life to Christ. And there's no real joy. Hey, listen, just encourage you tonight. God wants to give you the strength you need to get through it. You know, I just love that little principle. You know, His eyesight's perfect. Why not let Him guide you? Why not? He who made the worlds, He who spoke the world in existence, He that created you, He that created this the world around you, the trees, the grass, the one that did it all. The one that gave you eternal life through Jesus Christ. Why not just go ahead and say, okay, God. Boy, if you can do all that, I know you can take my little old life and make it a whole lot better than what I'm making it. Yeah, I think I'm dealing with saved folks tonight. Boy, if you're not saved, boy, you know, I know it's Wednesday night. You ought to get saved. You ought not leave this place and not know for sure you have a home in heaven. God guaranteed you a home in heaven. It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. You ought not leave that way. But I think probably I'm dealing primarily with Christians. And maybe you just got no joy. Yeah, you come to church and I'm glad that you're here and I'll do everything I can to shake your hand. I'll pray with you. I'll do whatever I have to go ahead and encourage you. And you wonder, and you say, preacher, I don't know how I can make it. You follow these simple principles. Recognize who God is. Realize that He will shelter you and protect you. Accept that shelter. Listen to me. Accept that shelter. Allow Him to teach you and instruct you and to guide you. You know, ultimately, He'll give you the joy you need to go day in and day out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You for these people. Lord, I want nothing more for these people than for them to have joy unspeakable. To have the strength that You can give them, and yet they have joy along with it. Through the battles, You give them joy. I pray, dear God, that we'll all take these simple principles from Your book. We'll apply them to our heart. Maybe we didn't need it today, but tomorrow we may. Maybe next week we're going to need some of these principles. And help us to realize who You really are. You're God. And You love us. You want Your best for us. I pray, dear God, that You please bless these dear people. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Maybe God spoke to you tonight. We're going to stand to our feet. Brother Sean is going to go ahead and just play a song in just a moment. But why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? And as the music plays, maybe God spoke to your heart somehow tonight. Why don't you just come forward, give it to God? Maybe there's no joy. Maybe you just need to just hand it over to Him. You know, recognize who God is. Recognize that He's Jesus. He loves you. And He's the one that can give you the strength. And that's it. Come on. Anybody else? What is it that you're bearing by yourself? Why not give it to God? Let Him guide you. Let Him instruct you. Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for your book. Thank you for your message. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you give us day in and day out. It never runs out. Oh, this is plentiful. I pray, God, that we'll always go ahead and just trust you. Trust you with our life. I pray, Lord, as we go about the rest of our week, I pray, Lord, you keep us safe. I pray, God, that you would just protect us in all that we do this week. Give us the testimony that we need that would be pleasing to you as we go about our daily duties. Bring us back safely here this weekend on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.